Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Coming to you early Sunday. The Chapmans, after this show, I have a couple things. I have to pack. I have to take the dog to the vet, which we're taking the dog with us. And then we're going to Tahoe just for one quick night. We just got to get out of the... We got to get out. So Chapman's heading up to Tahoe. And that's what we got going. So I had to go a little early today, but I wanted to get a show out today. We'll not have a show tomorrow. We won't be getting back till pretty late. But this has been one of the topics that has been asked about for a long time. And, you know, every time we do like a mock draft episode or whatever, or I'm talking to draft prospects, I always get like, man, Shanahan always does crazy stuff. Or if you want to put that in the 49ers, again, my understanding is Kyle Shanahan is the king as far as personnel decisions go, including roster. Yes, John Lynch is the general manager, but Kyle gets autonomy with pretty much whatever he wants. Remember who hired who. So this is attributed to Kyle, but it's the 49ers. It's the entire, you know, scouting, GM, front office, personnel, all that stuff, coaches. They all fit into this. And so probably the majority of today's episode is going to be spent on not necessarily the first round pick. We'll talk a little bit about that. But again, like, who are going to be the Cam Lawtus, the Jake Moody's, these picks that are just like, what? I'm sorry, what? Where did this come from? Those picks are going to happen. Now, the good news, the 49ers have 10 picks. So, a couple curveballs. All right. We'll take what we got. But the other picks, that's going to be important to see. Now, we've got a couple other questions that are a little bit off topic with that. But I think this is going to be a fun conversation. I really, really do. And a little bit of a spoiler alert. I'm not good at teases. The 49ers have so many roster needs, whether that be depth at almost every single position or starters at a lot of positions. It kind of insulates the decision-making process for the 49ers and the fact that, you know, even if you go for a certain position that everybody's like, what? I think probably quarterback in rounds, you know, day one or day two is about the only position where it would be like, that's a shocker. That's a shocker. I mean, you can go defense, safety need, cornerback need, linebacker need, defensive tackle need, edge need. Okay, so that's everywhere on defense. Offense, interior offensive line need, offensive tackle need, tight end need, wide receiver need, running back. Nah, I think that's the least needed position. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that, but again, I am assuming the 49ers have Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Isaac Garendo. That's three. Yeah, you could add something, but not a dire need, in my opinion. And then quarterback, which you even do need a quarterback because you only have Brock Purdy and Tanner Mordecai. I do not consider Tanner Mordecai to be the number two quarterback yet. Maybe he can work into that, and I want to keep Mordecai in the building. But again, if we're looking at positions, offense, defense, man, I think quarterback's really the only, and again, I would put running back in that conversation as well, but those are about the only ones that are just like, man, you got to kind of have everything else. You have to have it all. Now, I know Kyle Shanahan's watching this show saying, you didn't mention kicker or punter. But as of right now, this recording on the 23rd of February, 8:52 a.m. Again, sorry for the early show on a Sunday. You still have the highest drafted kicker and the highest drafted punter rostered on your team currently. I think you should move on from both, but not with draft picks. So again, anytime you ever draft a kicker or punter, you're wrong. You've never been right in the history of the NFL. Never once have you been right spending a pick on a kicker or punter ever. I could argue all day on this. Never do that. So don't be stupid anymore in that area. Again, my whole philosophy is you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of that draft pick being Brock Purdy. You take it 1,000 out of 1,000 times. 1,000, and here's the good news. The 49ers did get Brock Purdy at 262 at the end of the seventh round with the last pick of the draft. Again, Mitch Wisnowski drafted in the fourth round. You got Dre Greenlaw later than that. You can get stud players at any point in the draft. Never draft a kicker or a punter ever again. So help me God. Let me find the picture. Here we go. Yeah, this is me and my main man, Brian Carter. When we were doing the draft and they picked Jake Moody, this is the screenshot. That was about as bad as it could possibly be. Don't make me make that face ever again, Kyle Shanahan. You moron. I love Kyle Shanahan, actually. And yeah, we're going to take some slight hits on Shanahan and the 49ers for what they've done in the past from time to time. Does not mean we're not supportive. But come on, we're fans. We're going to get a little spicy every now and then. I'm a fan, by the way, not an insider, not a beat reporter. I'm a fan trying to increase education through film and my coaching background, without putting a lot of hot takes out there. That's what we are at the 40 Hours Rush. This is episode 1,343, trying to predict the 49ers off the wall draft pick this. Oh, it's going to be fun. All right. Thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Look at David. He's got the predict. And if you want to throw a prediction in there, title it, because the chat's already bumping, which I love. You guys are the best of the best. Put Kyle's off the wall pick and then give me a player. And it could be any round. Doesn't have to be the first round. But David says Kyle's off the wall pick. Travion Henderson, running back OSU. Reminds me of Jamar Gibbs. If you told me the 49ers got Travion Henderson in the second round, I still think that that is way too much of a luxury pick, but it makes perfect sense. I mean, the comps for Travion Henderson is Jamar Charles, Jahmyr Gibbs. He's awesome. And right here, this is on my list, Josh. This is on my list. Jaden Blue. Which, yeah, the Texas speedster, yes. The running back out of Texas, second round, third round, already starting to see him creep up everybody's board. You're getting Dane Brugler. You're getting Daniel Jeremiah talking about him on the conference call. So, yeah, that is a new name that is going to be there. Shout out to Tom Grossi. I don't know about this, but if anybody raised $1 million for Fallen Angels, A plus, man. That is awesome. Right here, David. Kyle prides himself on getting players no one expects. I think it's a game for him. Yes. These evil masterminds, and I mean that like in slight. I'm just kind of joking. I'm very thankful Kyle Shanahan's our coach, and I want him to continue to be our coach for a very long time. But yeah, with these competitive, I don't know, alpha coaches, the McVays, the McDaniel, the O'Connells, and Shanahan, and I mean, you go on and on and on. Yeah, there is a lot of this kind of chest pounding that goes on. And the 49ers, and let me just say this. This is the reason why you get, you know, Trey Lance. This is the reason why you get, I don't know, Reuben Foster. This is like, you can go through a lot of the picks that we missed. But this is also the reason, there's two sides to this coin. This is also the reason why you got Fred Warner and George Kittle and even the trades for, I think, one of the best left tackles in the history of football, Trent Williams. All of that goes together. So you have to take the good with the bad. And I would be remiss if I'm not like, look, yeah, we're taking shots at Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers draft philosophy, and rightfully so, but you've got to look at the flip side. Man, you have so many home run picks, but you got to continue that. You got Dominique Pooney last year, right? Those are there. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. What's up, David? Hey, Mike. Man, everybody coming up. Josh, do we draft a long snapper? No, but you need a new long snapper. That change needs to take place. I'm tired of our long snapper being subpar performances and causing issues on the sideline. You move on. Move on. What's up, Lori? How we do? Appreciate everybody. Steve says 30 minutes from Tahoe. We're about 3 hours from where we're at usually. But Chapman road trip. We're going to have a good time. We don't get out much, and especially with like the Chapman Homeschool Academy that is taking place right now. Man, all work and no play makes John a dull boy. And sometimes it gets a little teetering on the shining. We got to get out of these walls sometimes, or else we're going to start having conversations with bartenders that aren't there. I always used to joke around that during COVID, The Shining was a documentary. It was not a horror film. Kubrick was, that was a documentary. You got to get out. Anyway, appreciate you guys. Folks, see it. Hello, friend. Thanks for providing the news escape. That's what's up, baby. Sean, hope you're feeling better, buddy. Man, this is awesome. Yeah, and Rick right here. Trade back in the first. Take Loveland. Oh, with the extra capital, take the two offensive tackles and defensive tackles. I wouldn't be mad. And we're going to be talking a little bit of tight end talk coming your way, as always. I feel like this draft, defensive tackles and tight ends, you know, I keep going back on the superlatives of what the deepest or whatever. It's defensive tackles number one. It's tight ends number two. It's tight ends number two. Lee, a wide receiver that is overdrafted and not a scheme fit. Ooh. That's interesting. Right off the top of my head, without any research, I would say a tight end that is not a scheme fit. Ah, man, a lot of these guys, I'm like, yeah, they're scheme fits. They are. Savion Williams would be the one. Savion Williams in the second round. That would, like, I think he is a scheme fit, but I think he's going to get drafted way before he should. I wouldn't take Savion Williams out of TCU, the wide receiver, the freak, until round four. He looks like Julio Jones. He's going to test like Julio Jones, but you turn the tape on, he ain't Julio Jones. He don't run the routes. He's got the explosiveness. He's a freak. But, and that's what scares me, is like Kyle Shanahan had Julio Jones in his best years. And so, like, no, bro. If you get Savion Williams, I'd be happy. I'd settle on round three. I still don't like it. Should go round four. He's probably going to go round two. That would be a reach. That would be a reach.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI. And a watch and tab on any plan, only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan, service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am starring that Tyler Warren pick. Is Debo gone yet? Nope. You've got exactly 1 month. The 22nd is whenever his March 22nd is whenever his option hits. He'll be gone before then. He will be released, not traded. In my, I'd say 85% release. That's my, and I think it's going to tick up like a percent almost every day. I said 85 with my show with Larry yesterday. So I'm going 86. And I think like every day it's just going to go up a percentage. Maybe I need a Debo percentage release tracker and kind of what that looks like. But he's still there. I hope they trade for him. I want them to trade him. I just don't get it. Yeah, big diss. Think the front office is tired of Kyle Shanahan's off-the-wall picks. How can he properly make picks when he doesn't attend the combine? Combine's not a lot. I mean, shoot, everybody talks about McVay and the Rams and how they home run everything. They don't attend the – I think there were six head coaches that didn't attend the combine. But he's in the meetings. The meetings and the medical checks are what the combine's about. It's all recorded. Yeah, I'm not big on that go to the combine stuff. But John Lynch is there. Your scout should be there. And, yeah, you need to have the interviews, but, man, you just zoom in. I don't know. I'm weird. I don't know. I'm a weirdo. Daniel, appreciate you. John, can you explain how big the gap is between Abdul Carter and James Pierce? Both have similar but not exact build, playing style, and I think the gap between them may not be as big as we think. Oh, you are the freaking man. So I have to give credit. Let me see here. Look at this cool little dandy chart. And I know it's small, but I posted this on Twitter. And if you want to go check this out, shout out to our main man, Ben, NY Niners. He is a legend. He's helping us with our draft research. And he created this handy dandy chart. We call it the Havoc Rate. Okay, here's how we developed this. This is a 49ers Rush exclusive. We're so cool. It's sacks plus hits plus hurries plus TFLs divided by snaps, right? So you add up all the sacks, hits, hurries, quarterback hits, and tackle for losses, and you divide that by snaps. Well, you get this really cool kind of percentage on where everybody is, right? Now, no chart or graphic or single metric like this, whether it's PFF, whether it's pressure rate, true pat, like, it all comes with a story, but for you audio listeners, the number one edge player with a 13.6% is James Pierce Jr. He's a stud. And my favorite thing about James Pierce Jr. that nobody talks about is his block recognition and A-plus understanding of run gap control. Yeah, he's a speed rusher. That's what he brings to the table, and he is elite in that sense. But then the question comes to, I didn't bring the question up, and I apologize about this. I'm scrolling. Where was it? Anyway, the question was, here it is, Daniel. Sorry about that, buddy. I minimized it. I didn't mean to. So here's Daniel's question. Can you explain the gap between Abdul Carter and James Pierce? So if we look at this edge havoc rate, James Pierce is at 13.6% best of all edge players. Abdul Carter is fifth. With an 11.8, and so you're talking not even two full percentage points, but just based off this, like, if you're looking at disruption, all those things, yes. Now, the difference, Daniel, and everybody else between Abdul Carter and James Pierce Jr., it's in that four-letter word that you're going to hear 50,000 times at the combine, bend, B-E-N-D, bend. James Pierce don't have it. He's faster. He might not be faster. He's more streamlined. James Pierce Jr. is built like a 100-meter sprinter. He is streamlined. I mean, you just, from shoulders to hips to knees to thigh, like everything, straight down, just zoom. That dude is a number two pencil. That's James Pierce Jr. And if he's going in one direction, oh my gosh, unbelievable. Now, you talk about speed. He hit 23 miles per hour on a GPS tracker. He had a pick six versus Iowa. It's one of the fastest measured times from a GPS tracker for anybody in college or NFL. Like, this dude is an edge rusher, 6'5", 243. That is a 100-meter dash sprinter. I mean, he is just unbelievable. whenever you're talking, wins in his first three steps, just straight ahead. Now, he's smart and great versus the run. That's why I like him a lot. The problem is, hasn't played very much. Experience, he only has 900 snaps. That's an issue. Production's elite. All those things. But he doesn't have bend. He doesn't have experience. That's an issue. That is a major, major, major issue. Now, you go to Abdul Carter, 1,700 plus snaps. He's twice as many. He's played twice as long. Production's elite. All those things. Solid versus the run. The one trait that makes James Pierce Jr. not match up with Abdul Carter is bend. He doesn't have it. He can get straight up field, but man, that dude runs behind the quarterback over and over and over. He forces the quarterback to step up. Abdul Carter's my number one player in my board. I think James Pierce Jr. is going to be around 15 to 20. So that's the gap. My favorite thing about James Pierce is he's pretty solid against the run. He plays smart, and I do like that. But they are not, they're in the same category, obviously. But, yeah. Sticking with this edge havoc rate. And again, we're going to be sharing these charts and all the stuff that we're making with our draft, our 49ers Rush draft book that comes out early April. We're still working on it. But here's just the top edge players. James Pierce Jr. 1, David Bailey 2, Prince Umang Mielen 3, Quay Robinson 4, Abdul Carter 5, Elijah Roberts, metrics, analytics, tape. I'm telling you, Elijah Roberts, the name you got to learn. Tyler Barron, Brady Swenson, Kamara, Kamon Rucker, David Walker, Ashton Jelody. I really like that kid. And it just keeps going. Mike Green's in the middle. And you can check this out. I put this out on Twitter if you want to go check it out. That's where that is. But so, yeah, I really, really do like both. James Pierce, Abdul Carter is just, he's the number one player in the draft. He's going number one overall. I'm telling you right now. I'm just betting on that. I'm just saying it's what it's going to be. yeah. Again, Josh stayed with it. Let's get the highest drafted long snapper, and then we'd have the highest drafted kicker, highest drafted punter, highest drafted long snapper in the NFL, and still suck at special teams. Ah, man. Yeah. Right here, Nick. I like this. Stop chasing rabbits. Draft hogs and dogs. Oh, I like that. That is Nick. That's good, man. That's a t-shirt. I like that. I like that. Another Jaden Blue off the wall pick. Yeah, it's there. I've stayed away from all the Justin Tucker talk. I ain't play with that. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Right here. David, according to Jeremiah, the 49ers have been one of the best drafting teams in the league. Kyle gets credit. Yes, they are. Look at how many all pros you have on your team that you drafted. Good Lord. Debo is an all-pro. I know everybody's pissed at him right now, but that dude, 1,770 total yards in one season, literally willed us to playoff wins against the Cowboys. I will never forget that, ever. All-pro. Dude's an all-pro. All-pro. Brock Purdy, nah, he's not all-pro yet, but, you know, he was in the MVP consideration for a year. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, George Kittle. I mean, come on. Let's go. You've got to give Talano Hufanga. Yeah, you have to give credit to that. Appreciate you, Mark. He says, just watched you and Larry's latest draft. Yeah, that was fun yesterday. It's always fun recording with Larry. He's a fun guy, man. Very, very passionate. And I love that. Elijah Rojo is a sneaky name to watch. Oh my gosh. I could see Kyle liking Jack Bett for TCU. Yeah, again, TCU, we got a pipeline there. Lynch's daughter goes there. We got D winners. The coaching staff's friends with Lynch. Yeah, Jack Beck makes sense. That dude, he just catches everything. Just catches everything. Right here, coach chart personnel. Hashtag CC, Beck from TCU, third round. Lynch will say he watched him at practice. He loves TCU boys. Kyle will say reminds him of him off the wall pick. Man, I love that. That is like four levels deep. You went inception level deep. Coach chart, appreciate you, man. Glad you're here. Love that. absolutely love that. Anyway, sorry. I'm behind on the chat. I got to scroll down. Let's do this. Yeah, and I've seen this, Invader. James Pierce was arrested during a traffic stop. He was 19. It was on campus at Knoxville. He parked, if you guys college parking police. You guys know what's up here. I don't knock him really bad for this. Knoxville, the teammates, the coaches, everybody loves that dude. Basically, they were towing his car. He tried jumping in. I read the police report. Yeah, it got out of hand. And, you know, there was a little bit of a scuffle and whatever. I don't know, man. I'm not knocking him for that personally. 19-year-olds, I'd be pissed if somebody was towing my car. But somebody might. And so, you know, I appreciate you bringing that up, Invader. And again, you know, we talked about character concerns last time. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not knocking him on that personally. I don't think that's going to push him down boards. Now, again, I'm not having the meeting with him, and he's going to be asked about it in all of his interviews, every single one of them. He's going to be asked, except for by the Chiefs. They don't give a damn. Cowboys don't care. Like, yeah, those teams, yeah. Andy Reid and Brett Veach are going to be like, could you have hurt him more? Why didn't you hurt him more? Were there any women and children you could have hurt? Because that would have pushed you up our board. Yeah, I'm going to get some bad emails on that one. But, yeah, the Chiefs, they love that stuff. It's their favorite thing that could happen. It's somebody that hurts women and children. It's their favorite. I hate saying that. And those emails are going to be fun to read. Anyway, so thankful I am not a Chiefs fan. Anyway, but they're very good. They're very good. Now, let's get into two questions. I got this question, and I want to get to this. This was on Patreon. Shout out to my man, KAD. He is awesome. It says, John, can you explain why Mason Graham is such a clean prospect? What do you like about his game, and how does he fit with the 49ers defense if he somehow fell? What makes him so good when you mentioned him in an episode that the measurables won't stand out in the combine? Okay, I'm going to go off on a tangent here to answer this question. I'm not going to do a good job. You guys know me. It's not happening. I'm going to try to do a good job. My father, my biological dad, who I never really lived with, but I spent summers with in Georgia, he had season tickets to the Braves. He split season tickets like four ways with he ran a construction company. And so I've been to hundreds of Braves games, and these were back in the 90s, right? When the Braves were just freaking awesome. My favorite player of all time baseball is freaking the man, Maddox. I freaking love him. I love Maddox. And again, you're seeing Smoltz and Avery and Glavin. I mean, the pitcher rotation back in the 90s for the Braves was elite. But I would fight to get tickets because my dad had – they're divided four ways, right? So he had two tickets, and we would divide them four ways, whatever else. I wanted Maddox days all the time. Like, man, Dad, that's cool. I want to go to the game. I really want to see Maddox. And so I would always hound him, and it was difficult for him, whatever. But, he was a good dude. And he wanted to go to all the games anyway. So Maddox was my favorite. And you go and you watch him in person, I loved it. Because he wasn't the tallest. He wasn't a pure athlete. He didn't have the strongest fastball. He didn't have it. He just had complete control. And at the games, you could see visibly how pissed off the batters were that went against Greg Maddux every damn game. You could see they didn't want to be there. You could see they didn't like stepping up. That dude just psychological warfared every damn opposing batter that he went up against. I cannot express how much I love Greg Maddux. And if you don't, right here, this has nothing to do with Mason Graham. But if you haven't seen the video where him and his catcher are talking, this came out a year and a half ago. They did the documentary on how Maddux called all of his pitchers by the way he would catch the ball when the catcher returned it. Like if he caught it away from the body, that was going to be a fastball. If he wiped his nose, it was going to be a curve. I love him. Okay. Now, how does this translate to Mason Graham? Dude has the best control, body control, balance control of almost any DT I've ever graded. I mean, wrestling, all that stuff. I get it. It makes sense. Two-time wrestling champ. That translates. Wrestling matters in the trenches, period. Leverage, all those things. It's just so consistent. I can't find what he's bad at. Now, he doesn't have elite production, but this is kind of what Michigan defensive line does. He's great versus the run. He's great versus duo. He's great in pass rush. He's great at setting up a pass rush plan from the interior. It's not like you're just getting bull rushed all the time. I don't know what he's bad at. Now, this is what I talked about last episode. He's not going to have the killer physique And the combine's not going to be his thing. He's a football player. He's a better football player than an athlete. You get people like Kenneth Grant and Derek Harmon, and you know, you can go on and on and on. And not that those are bad things. The traits are incredible, and yeah, traits matter. But I'm sorry, tape trumps all. Tape trumps everything. And whenever you have a positive run player, you have a positive pass rush player, not 1 year, not 2 year, three consecutive years of consistent production, making everybody on the team better. He makes your linebackers better. He makes your defensive ends better. He makes coverage better. He just helps everything. Yeah, not the rocket arm, not the sexiest, like, looking dude ever and, you know, chiseled and, you know, doing the Aaron Donald stuff. No, he ain't that. But it's just like, I can't find a negative. I can't find it. And whenever you watch the game tape, offensive line hate him. They hate playing against him. And when they break the huddle and 55's on top of them, body language ain't great. They are pissed. They walk back to the huddle faster. And I'm just telling you, it might not be measurable. And maybe I'm not doing a good enough job saying this. I would trade considerable draft capital if Mason Graham falls. I don't see how he gets out of top five. I don't see how he gets out of the top five. I don't see it. And so I'm just telling you, from a coach, scouts might not like him as much, but from a coach, this is a stand on the table and pound the table guy. Is he going to be an all pro? Maybe not. I don't care. This dude is going to make you better against the run, against the pass. He just is exactly what you want in a defensive tackle. Would you like him to have more production? Sure. But you don't have to translate anything. You know what you're getting. And again, I've had people say, like, well, he kind of reminds me of Solomon Thomas. Dude, Mason Graham is 6'3", 320. This dude weighs 30 pounds more than Solomon Thomas. Like, he's not that. They're not comps. They're not. Solomon Thomas was a tweener that never really found his role, but here he is in his fourth contract in the NFL, but never should have been a top five pick. Unless you had a plan for him, the 49ers didn't. Had him inside, then moved him outside, then moved him inside, then moved him back outside, then let him go. No. Mason Graham, everybody knows what to do with him. You ain't got it. There's no question what he is. It's just clean. It's Greg Maddux, man. All right, now I have to take time from the show to highlight any type of Maddux comment, because it just makes me happy on the inside. Captain, he says, Maddux and Glavin. Yeah, I love it. Right here, Invader. Graham will get knocked for his body composition and short arms by some teams 100%. I hope he gets knocked by all of them. Maddux had the best ball placement ever. Dude, he would I love it. I love it. I love it. What's up, Steven? How you doing? Right here. Great one. Maddux had the best 2-seam fastball. I mean, this dude, you're talking like the last 3 years of his career. I know they weren't with Atlanta, but his best fastball was 86 for like the last several years of his career. Didn't matter. The movement that he got, the placement was just awesome. Nathan, did you see Maddux essentially gave up a homer against Bagwell on purpose? Yes, I did. It was a regular season game that was out of control. They were winning. He gave up a home run just so he could set him up in the playoffs. I mean, just cerebral, dude. This is not a baseball podcast. I know somebody's getting upset right now, but thank you for humoring me. The nostalgia, the trip back to the past with the pops. That's good. I got a smile on my face. And so I appreciate that, guys. Thank you. All right, here we go. Let's get to the nuts and bolts of today's episode. And that is, we're going to try to do our best to predict these off-the-wall picks, not just first round, but second, third round as well. I want to hear from you. Who do you think Kyle Shanahan's off-the-wall pick is going to be? And I'm telling you right now, once this combine happens, the predict the first pick, those odds are not going to be there anymore. I have personally put money on Abdul Carter multiple times being the first overall pick. And if you're going to bet, man, you know where you got to go. The NFL season may be done, but betting with MyBookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. Your big basketball guy. Who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With MyBookie. Ooh, I like this, David. He said, I put money on Travis Hunter going one. I think that's more likely than a quarterback. Usually quarterbacks always, but man, there is no way I'm passing on Abdul Carter. I don't give a damn. Like, I don't care. The difference between Will Levis and Cam Ward versus... I don't know. We'll see. All right, let's get into the Niners. Let's see here. So this question has been phrased to me many a times. Here's David R., James K., so many people. The 49ers every year, it seems, hit us with two absolutely out of the left field picks. Look at that. Another baseball. Freaking look at us. Look at us. Baseball's in the air, baby. Who are some guys in round two or three that could be the next Cam Latu, Jake Moody picks? All those different things. So let's work backwards. Let's work round three, round two, round one. Like I said earlier, the 49ers have so many needs at all across every single position at defense. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they took a safety day two, corner, linebacker, DT, DN, like offensive lineman, anywhere, tight end. Gosh, you need two. You need two tight ends. You need a wide receiver. Might need two wide receivers. Running back and quarterback. Those are the big, just like, I hope that they don't. And again, somebody put like, you know, Quinshon Judkins or, you know, go get one of those Ohio State guys. I don't think that's a reach in round two. That's where they should go. Niners shouldn't do it. Again, you have CMC, the highest paid running back in the NFL. You have Jordan Mason, who led the NFL in rushing through 6 weeks. You traded multiple picks to go up and get, you know, a high upside rookie. Who showed flashes, and Garrido, you've got those three guys returning. Like, you don't need more draft capital or salary cap capital at that position. You don't. Now, you got to add more guys, but man, draft somebody day three. Get undrafted free agents. That's what I would do. Sign a vet. Get Raheem Mostert back. Yeah, I don't know. Figure it out. Cheap. Bargain bin. You have three that you spent on already. You don't have to keep adding to this position, Kyle Shed. I'm talking to Kyle Shedd right here. But these are the running backs that I think would be a reach day two. Cam Scattapoo. I know everybody loves him. Might be a Hall of Famer. Awesome. No, he's not a day two guy. He's not. The production is elite. We'll see how he tests. I think he's going to test well. But, man, you talk about – shoot. I'm sorry. I clicked the wrong one. It's weird. It's not showing. Travion Henderson. He's a round two draft pick. Cam Scattapoo is not. Travion Henderson has elite traits. Now, the injuries and kind of all the stuff there, sure. But, like, if you got Scattapoo in the third, I wouldn't like it, but not the second. Scattapoo should be a fourth, fifth round pick. Bashal Tuten. That dude. Elite traits. R.J. Harvey. I really like R.J. Harvey. I think he's a great fit. UCF running back. But again, not day two. Not day two. Khalil Mullins. That one would be the most Shanahan because he's like a convert, but he doesn't have the experience out of Michigan. Or Jaden Blue, Texas. That dude, speed demon. You want to throw the ball? You want a receiver? Yeah. Fumbling issues. But just elite, man. If you look at Jaden Blue's like just highlights, 40-yarder, 60-yarder, 50-yarder, 70-yarder, 40-yarder. Like, that dude, he's got the speed. So, like, any of those guys, I could see if I step into Shanahan's, like, whatever, brain bucket, those are guys that, like, I could see it. And, again, my favorite thing about Scattapoo is what he does as a receiver. That's why I'm like, oh, all right. That's why he drafted Garrido. His drop rate's terrible. Can't run screens. Like, but... hopefully he grows into that. So, like, are you giving up on the rookie you traded multiple picks for already? Like, Scataboo is Isaac Grindo. And they should go about the same place, fourth round. They both should. I'm going to stay off on that. Now, quarterback would be the one where it'd be like, we could have used a player there. Drafted Quinn Ewers. Oh, so help me God. That would drive me insane. As a Longhorn fan, I'm so thankful for Quinn Ewers, and he's a damn good quarterback. But Kyle Shanahan loves Quinn Ewers. I can guarantee you that. He is the most Kyle Shanahan quarterback that has ever existed. Quinn Ewers should go in the third, fourth round. He's probably going to go in the second and to a Shanahan scheme. I really don't want to back it up. I really don't want Quinn Ewers. And he's such a good dude, and he's such a good teammate, and he's such a good leader. He's just, man, he is a streak quarterback. Terrible, 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 or great, great, great. And he sucks at the deep ball. Probably like Jimmy Garoppolo-esque, just terrible deep ball thrower. And I know somebody's going to say, yeah, but you look at the Arizona State game. And yeah, he did. He had that one amazing one. But he had two of the best deep ball wide receivers in college football, and he couldn't connect with them ever. Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. And he just, man, you just saw those guys be so frustrated all the damn time. He can connect with Matthew Golden, who I really like, but that's it. Like, he can't connect with anybody else deep. He just can't. Kyle McCord, I can see him drafting him in the third round. I can see him drafting Curtis Rourke, Indiana. You draft Graham Mertz, the Florida quarterback, at any point, I'm talking seventh round, I'm still pissed. I will not include Graham Mertz on my draft profile because I just don't believe he's an NFL quarterback, but he's a great dude. He's got an athletic body. He's a leadership, whatever. He's just not an NFL quarterback in my mind. But watch us get him at some point. It's what it is. Those are the ones that like are just like, ah. Now, before we transition to the first round picks that would drive me crazy, let's get to a couple comments. Right here, reach for Scatabo. John says do it. Dion Walker, I like him. But yeah, it shouldn't go. D1 Walker shouldn't go in the first or second round. Kyle pounds the table for Harold Fannin Jr. in the second. Sign me up right now. I think Harold Fannin is a borderline first round pick. I'm gonna star this one breaking 80. And I'm sorry. I'm as much as everybody loves Tyler Warren, I love Harold Fannin. I love him. I love that dude. I'm going to go back to that one right here. Invader, I think it'd be a crime not to draft a running back in this draft since it's the best in the century. I'm not saying don't draft a running back. And so I should cushion this with, man, day three running back would be perfect. Perfect. And again, who's going to fall out of Scataboo, Tootin, RJ Harvey, Khalil Mullins, Jaden Blue? One of those guys is going to be there. There's many other ones. You get those guys round 4, 5, 6. Oh, all right. But round 2, it's just like, man, that's why I think it's an issue. Josh says huge pass on Scataboo. Yeah. 49ers have gotten great running back protection day 3 and undrafted. There's going to be so many great undrafted running backs. So you can't draft them all. Omarion Hampton could be a round 2 as well. I love Omarion Hampton. That dude is just, he's a bruiser, man. He is so damn tough. He's so damn tough. Again, I would be mad, but that's where Omarion Hampton's going. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Omarion Hampton goes kind of like a Clyde Edwards-Alaire, like back of the first round. Like, I would not be shocked. Scataboo's going to be Peyton Hillis. I like some Peyton Hillis now. I ain't mad about that. Oh, right here. Henderson is there at 43. I'm running the podium. He's Clinton Portis. Do you know what the Shanahans did with Clinton Portis? They traded him out of town for what? A corner. A great corner. A Hall of Fame corner. I love Clinton Portis. I love Clinton Portis. But yeah, Henderson's a beast, man. No doubt about that. I'm a Longhorn fan. I've seen it. If they draft a running back, you better be faster than Raheem. That is rare. There are guys in here that are faster than Raheem Mostert, but not many. David, I like McCord. Maybe Riley Leonard. I do like Riley Leonard. I like McCord. That's kind of this draft at quarterback, though. There's guys that you kind of like, but I think they're all day three guys. They'll get pushed up. Again, quarterbacks, edge, offensive tackles always get pushed up. Invader Fannin, I think, has the second best run blocking grade. Harold Fannin Jr. is for real. Ugh, don't mess with me on no Harold Fannin. I don't care if he's small school. Go watch Penn State. Go watch Penn State. The most athletic played program. All they do is have athletes. That dude was the best player on the field. Best player on the field. Now, here's the question. All right, let's do this. We're doing this. It's Kyle Shanahan. What is the percentage of Kyle Shanahan taking a wide receiver in the first round? Whatever your thoughts are, there is never a 0% chance of Kyle Shanahan taking a wide receiver in any round. The 49ers have spent the most draft capital currently since Shanahan showed up on the wide receiver position out of all 32 teams. The 49ers currently have not one, not two, but three second contract wide receivers on the roster and added another first rounder. We have the most salary cap attributed to the wide receiver position. Kyle can't help himself, man. I probably should have done like one of those AI, whatever, like Kyle Shanahan's face on Tyrone Bigum's. hey, you got any more of those wide receivers in the draft? Man, so percentage-wise, all right? let's talk about Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers taking a wide receiver in the first round. This would not be cool, bro. Not cool. It wasn't cool last year, and whatever. However you feel about Ricky Pearsall, he's balled out. He's going to be a player for the 49ers, and you love that. Wasn't a miss. It was a misuse of draft capital. Considerably. So let's talk about it. What percentage? Before the Debo stuff, I would have said 5% chance that the 49ers take a wide receiver in the first round. I think it's up to 10%, maybe higher, because the draft lines up so well with where the 49ers are picking. Fossey, appreciate you. He says, if Tet McMillan falls to 11, you take him. I think there's a good chance he's going to be there. Now, Tet McMillan, Luther Burden, I think one, if not both those guys, will be there at 11. Now, I have four wide receivers going in the first round. Not that I have four first-round wide receiver grades. That's not what I said. I'm not there yet. I have four wide receivers going in the first round. Tet McMillan, Luther Burden, Amika Egbuka, and Matthew Golden. I think four wide receivers go in the first round, maybe more. Now, let's go in order. Tet McMillan is pretty much the consensus number one wide receiver in this draft. Just think about Mike Evans. Just think about Mike Evans. That's what Tet McMillan is. Some of the best eye-hand coordination, timing, body control, volleyball player. I mean, to be as big as he is and to time the ball like he does on deep balls, it's crazy, man. 6'5", 210. He's going to test well. And, like, you get 6'5 guys that play like 6'3", 6'2 guys. No. Tet McMillan is 6'5", plays like 6'7". I mean, this dude, catch radius off the charts. Body control off the charts. He's awesome, man. But the thing is, okay, let's say Tet McMillan's there at 11. I don't think he will be because you can see teams 4 through 12 all need wide receivers. Okay, 4. Patriots, good Lord, need wide receivers. Jacksonville needs wide receiver. They're going to probably cut Evan Ingram and possibly Christian Kirk. Vegas, oh gosh, they don't have a wide receiver. Jets, yep, they need wide receivers. Saints, they need wide receivers opposite Olave. The Bears, we'll see what their roster shakes out with, but DJ Moore, and they got Adunze, so maybe not them so much. Will the vet return? We'll see. 49ers 11, they need a wide receiver. Cowboys 12, they need a wide receiver. Like Miami 13, not so much. But man, these teams need wide receivers. Like it's a wide receiver hungry league, but the 49ers run fewer wide receivers than anybody else. But we spend the most on it. Imagine that. We still need more. Imagine that. But like if you drafted Tet McMillan, I mean, shoot, the player, it matches. I get it. Who's going to be your ex? Like, yeah, You're not drafting this guy just because Brandon Ayuk's coming off an injury. Tech McMillan's more of an X than Brandon Ayuk is. Like, Tech McMillan is the X. Like, like, he is that dude. He was made for that role. I guess you'd move, maybe you move Ayuk to the Z. You know, you can, Ayuk has taken more and more snaps out of the slot. But Tech McMillan's your X, period. Period. If you draft him. I'm not saying you should, and I don't think that they should. Would I be pissed? Yeah, I probably would be. I probably would be. John, appreciate the super chat, my friend. He says, Ricky's going to have a great year. I'm excited about that. I just traded for Ricky in my Dynasty League. You watch and see. He will look like a steal in hindsight. Even Stroud wanted him. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. Should he have went with those traits and can't stretch the field vertically at 31? No, when the 49ers have terrible O-line and terrible D-line? No, I'm never going to get past that. Doesn't mean that he's not a great player. The issue is just the draft capital that you neglected the two most important positions. And look what happened the subsequent year. You gave up the most rushing touchdowns in the history of your franchise. Defensively. There were defensive tackles there. Like, that's my issue, right? And so it's much more of a draft philosophical concept, not a, you know, Ricky Pearsall's not worth it. That's not what it was at all. I don't have a problem with Ricky Pearsall going 31. I didn't have him ranked that high, but man, he played well. He played well with what he had, overcoming what he overcame. That is my favorite thing about him. This dude's been through hell and back his rookie year and finished on top. Like, sorry, fuck yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love people that go through hell and say, nope. What do we say to the God of death today? Not today. Like, dude, how do you not love that? The story, obviously, but like, I'm excited for him. Does he have flaws in his game? Oh, yeah. But he's going to be a player for the 49ers for the considerable future, and I am excited about that. You still got to get O-line, D-line help. So you go back to wide receiver and be pissed. Great comment, John. Bobo, appreciate you, buddy. Clay is the offensive coordinator. Does that mean he'll be called plays? No, absolutely not. Maybe in preseason? No. And you don't want him calling plays. You want Shanahan. That Shanahan is, that's what makes Shanahan what Shanahan is. Anyway, now, oh, look at this right here. Can't pay wide receivers 30 to 40 moving forward. Don't look at Brandon Ayuk's cap hits. Don't do that. And I don't, I'm not saying you can't ever draft a wide receiver first round. I'm just saying we've got so many of them. We already have two first-round wide receivers. And they're, neither one of them are our best wide receiver. That's Juwan Jennings. He's our best wide receiver. Anyway, now back to the wide receivers. Luther Burden is the Kyle Shanahan wide receiver. Whenever Luther Burden declared for the draft, the first, this was before the Debo and whatever else, I was just like, no, Kyle, no. Don't do it. And that's his sweet spot. I think Luther Burden goes 10 to 15, 10 to 16, really. You're looking at the teams that are there. Arizona's picking 16. I could see him going there. He's kind of perfect fit for what they do. Like, he's the most Debo Luther Burden out of Missouri. Like, he is the slot, gadget, reverse. Now, nobody's a Debo guy. Like, he's not the violent guy. He's the shifty, elite, body control, all that stuff. If Kyle took a wide receiver, it would be Luther Burden. I believe that. Amika Egbuka, you trade back, I'd be cool with that. You trade back and get any of these guys, I'm cool with that. I'd be more cool with it. Still think it'd be a reach, but that's okay. Mika Egbuka is just, golly, elite routes, IQ, runs the full route tree from all three spots, great hands. Levin's too rich for him, though. And Matthew Golden, I love Matthew Golden. I think he's going to test very, very well at the combine. Did it at two separate schools, Houston and Texas. Quarterback's best friend. And at both schools, he made the quarterbacks look like they were studs. He just, man, tough as nails, does everything you want him to do. 11's too rich for him, though. I think back into the first round. If he drops to 43, I'd be cool with that. If he drops to 43, I'd be cool with that. yeah, but wide receiver talk gets the chat going every time. You guys are so funny. Josh, that's why I prefer drafted D-line, O-line with a lot of to build on those groups. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah, right here. This is, you know, I've been doing a lot of research on this. And, you know, whenever I do these shows, I always run out of stuff. I wanted to talk tight ends. We're not going to have time. That's a 25-minute segment easy. So I'm going to push that to another episode. I'm going to push the cap discussion to another episode because that thing's jumping off the charts. Right here, Bobo. JC, do we think Ayuk will be ready to start the season? I do not. The goal is for Ayuk to not be on PUP to start the season. That is the goal. Now, how is Ayuk whenever he doesn't have training camp? We saw that last year. Not good. Definitely not $30 million wide receiver good. But the goal is for him not to be on the PUP to start the season. He's going to be on PUP for training camp, 100% guaranteed. But the goal is not to miss a full month of the season. Hopefully he's on the active roster, you know, health, you know, miss maybe week one, week two, then week three comes in. That's the goal. That's the goal. Will he be the same player? Not this year. I doubt it. Maybe come playoff time. Maybe. Law of all, the thing with Cowing, maybe they don't think he can handle a DB or free safety plowing him. He's a domino on special teams. Yeah, he falls down a lot. He's small. You got to learn to line up. The wide receiver, and that's another reason why I don't want a young wide receiver. You have not one but two young wideouts. Man, get some veteran stuff in there. I would much bring in Darius Slayton. Just bring in Darius Slayton. I'd be so happy with that. That dude, he could run the full route tree. He could play X. He could play slot. Get Darius Slayton. You get that dude for like $6 to $9 million a year. Oh, man. Pre-injury, Ayuk was playing well, and that was after he was paid. Nah, I don't think so. I disagree with you, Lee. Now, he got better, but I mean, shoot. Like, I was looking up drop rates across the NFL. That dude had a 10% drop rate this year. Like, I don't know. It takes Ayuk a while to warm up. That's just what it is. So trade 11 and Debo for Garrett, 0% chance. I'll keep going back to this. Debo is a negative for the Browns. They're cutting everybody. They just cut their starting defensive tackle. They can't take more contracts. The Debo contract is a negative for the Browns, not a positive. You would have better chance 11 than 11 and Debo. They need less, not more. They are screwed cap wise because of Deshaun Watson. They need less, not more. Now, would I offer 11 and Debo for Garrett? Hell yeah. I'd offer Debo 11 and a second rounder for Garrett. Probably more. Debo's not a positive. Debo can't be involved in that trade. But that's what it is. Man, I've got too much stuff to talk about. I'm going to push a lot of these notes to the next episode. But yeah, I think if, you know, I had to predict the Kyle Shanahan off the wall pick that would piss me off the most, it'd be Luther Burden at 11 or taking a running back in the second round or a quarterback in the second round. Those are the ones that would just be like, ah, this upsets me. And I think it's a misuse of draft capital and resources, which have happened a lot, but we'll see. Hopefully O-line, D-line. I don't even care if you like Shamar Stewart's like my least favorite guy. In the second round, if you took Shamar Stewart 11, I wouldn't like it. And I would criticize the hell out of it. I would take that over Luther Burden, Tet McMillan in the first round. I'd take that over Quinn Ewers in the second round. I'd take that over a running back in the third round. Like, yeah, I don't like that player and worst production ever, but at least you're building in the trenches. I'd take a bad trench pick over a superlative skill position. I don't want that. So, you guys are the best. Chapman's about to hit the road. Y'all are awesome. No show tomorrow. I apologize, but I'm going to double up later in the week. We'll be back Tuesday, which I'm super excited about. You guys are all incredible. Guys and gals, y'all are the best. And until next show, as always, stay strong.
Oh, Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.